It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard round the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. You know, the media is incredible. It's you cannot get the news anywhere. All you can get is opinion, speculation. This is what we think. And half the time, that's not right.
It's not even opinion, Chuck. It's not even opinion. It's propaganda.
It's not even opinion anymore. You're exactly right. And yet, at the same time, when you think about it, without conflict, there is no media. So they have to create conflict, whether it's there or not. So they will just make it up. If the polls are great for Trump, they'll say they're not. If I'm looking at this thing that's going on in Kentucky, and you know, Trump won that state by 30 points. That should be a slam dunk. But no, it's a very tight race, and Hillary Clinton is literally tied with Trump. If you run her, Biden is way ahead of Trump. I mean, we keep going through this crap all the time, and they expect us to believe it, and they create this fear and conflict within the context of absolute nonsense in order just to keep their ratings up. I mean, it's all about ratings. It's all about confusion. There's chaos in the White House. Quite frankly, there's no chaos in the White House, according to what's really happening, but there's always chaos there. There's chaos in the Democrat Party, but they never talk about that.
Oh, it's a White House in crisis.
Exactly. Everything is always in crisis, and it's not in crisis at all. It amazes me that Trump has accomplished the things that he's accomplished, and the Democrats, number one, deny it. Number two, they obscure it, and the mainstream media as well. And then on top of that, they run against success. And you wonder, well, what do you have to bring to the table? Of course, we have the past 8 years, you know, of Obama and Biden to tell us what their measurement of success is. So if that's what the American people want, good luck.
Well, Chuck, look at you've got Ilhan Omar, who's proud to be supporting Bernie Sanders because he's going to fight against American imperialism. Okay. But
Omar is one. She is one nasty,
she's horrible,
angry Islamophobe in our Congress.
But so she's excited to fight American imperialism, but she's upset when the president pulls 50 troops out of the Turkish border.
Well, yeah, they can't.
That
get
makes
their
no
story
sense
straight because they don't have a story. That's the problem.
But if you
they
don't
just make
want
it up as they go, it's like Schiff and this impeachment thing. It's just they just make it up, you know. And people have no clue what's going on because the mainstream media won't tell them. I mean, my God, Hunter Biden and his dad are up to their ears in quid pro quo and things that are probably not even legal in Ukraine, but you'd never hear about it. They cover him like they covered Hillary.
So you were talking about how bad the media is. Our colleague James O'Keefe just dropped a new story this morning, Chuck.
I saw that on my Twitter feed.
ABC
And by the
News.
Way, may I say something that I said on Twitter this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
I probably have the best Twitter feed I've ever seen. I mean, I have the greatest followers. If you want to find out what the news is, go to my Twitter feed. The news is all over it.
Well, 2020 co-anchor Amy Robach, caught on a hot mic.
Yes.
Said, it was unbelievable.
With the production staff.
She said, I've had this story for 3 years. ABC would not put it on the air. She said, it was unbelievable. We had Clinton. We had everything. We had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew. I got a little concerned about why I couldn't get it on. Then she was told about Epstein. She had pictures. She had everything she was hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. This is this young girl.
Yeah, this one woman that was really afraid, yeah.
ABC's response is, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who this is. This is a stupid story.
Yeah, right.
Now, the real story.
Well, they know who he is now.
Well, supposedly what the story was that ABC was concerned that if they broke the story, that they would have too much difficulty getting other people to do interviews on ABC News because they would make so many people mad by expressing the truth. So imagine a news media
who's
worried about telling the truth.
And they're absolutely right. If you'll watch NBC or if you'll watch Fox do interviews with all of these leftist Democrats, they're very soft on them. They really won't challenge them very much because they won't come back.
Well, that is the case. I mean, we know that here. Think about how many lefties have refused to be on this program because they're afraid of it.
Well, they're afraid of being exposed. They don't want to be exposed, so why do it?
They do not want to be exposed. And Chuck, I want to tell you something. There is, and I want to talk to our audience for a minute. There is a concerted effort to drive programs, especially Blunt Force Truth, off the air. And what is happening, and you know this, our advertisers, every time we have an advertiser on here, Media Matters and the George Soros gang go after the advertiser. And they send the advertiser floods of emails. Many of those emails are one person sending 100 emails.
That's right.
But it panics the advertiser.
Yeah.
Now, these are people, you got to understand that what the left wants to do right now is they want to shut the First Amendment down.
Of course. I mean, free speech certainly doesn't favor them.
They want it dead. Which is interesting because these were the people in the 60s who claimed that's what they were protesting for.
Right.
And now they're protesting to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So what we have done at Blunt Force Truth.
Well, Berkeley was built on that whole
of course.
Political system in Berkeley.
So what we've done at Blunt Force Truth is we've decided that we're going to take the show into a listener-supported model.
Really?
Yes. And it simply means
this. How does that work?
Instead of having advertisers, Chuck, we're going to allow the listeners, we're going to ask our listeners to financially support the program. Now, what this means is simply this.
We're going to find out how popular we really are.
We certainly are. And we're going to find out if people want to keep this show going. The reality is you and I have always done this show for no money.
Right.
But we have a staff. We have producers. We've got a scheduler. We have an engineer. We have all these people.
Well, it's not free, that's for sure.
No. We have four or five people working behind the scenes, plus the cost of putting the show up and social media.
And George Soros does not support us.
And neither do the Koch brothers, as some people try to accuse us of.
True.
So Chuck and I have been, other than advertisers, we pay for this out of our pocket. What we're going to ask our listeners to do is we're going to ask our listeners, if you value this program, if you want to keep this show on the air, we're going to ask you to partner with us and help support some of the costs. The way you do that, Chuck, is you go to bluntforcetruth.com. Look up in, if you're on your desktop, look in the right-hand corner, and you'll see a button that says Patreon. And what you do is you take a credit card, you open up a simple Patreon account, and you can partner with us. You can partner with us for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever somebody wants to do. And depending on what scale or what level they partner with us, we're going to provide them some extra benefits. We're going to provide, you know, some Blunt Force Truth items. We're going to do some behind the scenes, you know, communications. But people can go there and look for themselves. So I'm going to ask you to go to bluntforcetruth.com. Click on the Patreon button in the right-hand top. And if you want to keep the show on the air, if you want to keep hearing Chuck and I talking about the truth, help us pay for it. We're not asking you to pay for all of us. We're asking you to help us pay for it. All right, so that's my pitch. So what I want to do today, what's that, Chuck?
That would be nice. I mean, you know, hopefully people do like to hear what we're talking about. So... Thank you if you do it, and thank you if you don't.
Yeah, we have 10,000 listeners. But unfortunately, in this kind of environment, even with having tens of thousands of supporters, not everybody jumps in. So
yeah,
don't think that the other guy's doing it for you. If you want to support the show, jump in and do it. So, Chuck, I want to do a deep dive today on our good friend Elizabeth Warren.
Our good friend Elizabeth Warren?
I said that with tongue.
Have you joined the Senate or something?
I said that with tongue firmly implanted in cheek.
Yeah, all right.
By the way, before I get to that, I want to say something about the impeachment. I don't think the Democrats are just flat out checker players, aren't they?
They have nothing, absolutely nothing, and they know it.
But they don't know how to play chess.
It's all a game. It's all political. It has nothing to do with the real truth. And I'll give you an example that Brit Hume actually pointed this out. The State Department and people of that ilk who are totally corrupt are very upset with Trump because he's setting foreign policy and they think they should set foreign policy. Well, it's in the Constitution, my friends, in the State Department, that the president sets foreign policy.
Yeah, we didn't elect the State Department.
Not exactly right. They're just a bunch of damn unelected bureaucrats that everybody bows to in Washington because they think they're so incredibly important. And perhaps they are in many ways. But the point is, like it or not, they do not set foreign policy. The president does.
Well, here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying, you know, a great chess player can play plays five moves out.
Right.
These guys are playing checkers. When they're looking to this impeachment, I got to ask you this. If they're successful in issuing articles of impeachment, the Senate will have to hold a trial, correct?
They're supposed to, yes.
Okay. How long did the last trial last when they ran one with Clinton?
Long time.
That trial ran, what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. A couple of months, yeah.
Okay. How many people on the Democratic ticket are currently members of Senate? Think about it.
40.
No. I'm talking about this running for president. You've got Warren.
Oh, they're running for president, yeah.
Sanders, Kamala, Spartacus. These people are all in the Senate. They will have
so they've got to be there
campaigning.
Right.
So,
yeah, well,
they have to sit through this.
Right.
If they don't sit through it, then their options are, I'm just going to tell America I'm voting guilty with no evidence.
Right.
Not a winning strategy.
Well, they can always say they've got the message from their people who are in the Senate. And, you know how this is going to be. It's going to be a vote down party lines. It's not the Republicans and the Democrats coming together like they have on every other impeachment that's gone on, which is only three in this country. This is just to taint Trump as best they can, try to separate him from his base, which they've been trying to do for 3 years. And I personally think they're looking foolish doing it, but let them go.
I think Mitch McConnell has the authority to compel them to be present.
Well, they could probably be present to vote, but they can't be present to listen. I do you think so? I mean, they have to be in the chamber.
I believe they do.
Well, if that's the case, then they're going to have a little problem.
You're going to take the four of their candidates. That's right. You're going to leave Biden all out there by himself.
Politicking.
Campaigning. Biden right now, does it look to you like Biden has been placed into candidate protection services?
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody will talk about anything that he's done or his son has done.
What I'm talking about, he's like in witness protection. They're hiding him.
I believe you. That's absolutely true. Well, they're embarrassed, you know. I mean, look, Biden has never been a successful presidential candidate. He's tried it, what, twice? He's never been successful at it.
Yeah, this is third time now.
And he's not going to be successful at it this time. So, and they know that. So I guess the best thing they can do is just, he's going to be the quiet candidate.
Well, this weekend he was excited to be in Ohio while he was in Iowa.
Well, while he was in Iowa, right. I mean, I feel for the guy. I know exactly what it's like. I'm going through that. I'm about his age. I think I'm a little older than he is. And sometimes you just kind of get lost and forget, and you're looking for a word and it won't come. And that's what happens when you get older.
Okay. I can testify to everyone right now. Your marbles are not as loosely rolling around as Joe Biden's.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
I would put you out to pasture if you were getting like Joe Biden right now.
It's funny. I was watching the Kaminsky, whatever this thing is.
Oh, Kaminsky Method. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I'm watching it. Well, this season I don't think it's so great because it's kind of pathetic. But all they do is talk about old age and what it does to you and how you can't do this and you can't do that. And there's not much you can do about it. I think of myself, you know, who are these people? Michael Douglas, I don't know him. I've seen him several occasions, you know, in person in different places, but I don't really know him. But he's younger than I am. They were talking about somebody dating someone who's very old. He was 67. I thought, holy cow, I'm 78. You know, where's that put me?
Well, Michael Douglas went through that round of throat cancer that he claimed he got from excessive oral sex.
That is just the strangest thing. Whatever.
That is the most bizarre statement I've ever heard somebody come out with, wasn't it?
You know, one of the best books I ever read, not to get off topic or anything like that, but I advise people if they haven't read it to read it, was his father's book. It was called Ragman's Son or something like that. I read it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But it was a very interesting insight into who his dad is.
Who is 102 and still alive.
What?
Who is 102 and still alive.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, that's another story altogether. We're way off topic. I'm sorry.
Now, but back to your topic, though, for the moment, as the co-host of the podcast Living Beyond 120.
Yes.
I don't find these particular entertainment genres of being 70 and over the hill to be credible. Because you don't.
Well, I don't feel like I'm over the hill. Physically, I'm not what I was when I was 65. I'll tell you that right now. But, you know, mentally, I try to stay up to date and see what's going on.
I don't have an issue with Biden's age or with Bernie's age, Trump's age, Warren's age. What I have, or for that matter, Nancy Pelosi. Where I have a problem is if you are suffering with mental decline, which can happen, you probably shouldn't be in power.
Right.
Doesn't happen to everyone, but we see it with Biden. It is painfully aware. It's painfully obvious with Nancy Pelosi.
Listen, to put it in perspective, Biden was Obama's vice president, whether he needed one or not. And so he abides by all the things that Obama abides by. His policies are Obama's policies. They're the Democrat policies. If you like that and you like that 8 years, vote for him. If you didn't like that, which I think brought us Trump, and he said that last night or the other night in Kentucky, it was because of Obama that people voted him in. I believe that's absolutely true. And it's interesting, Michelle Obama said that the world still sees President Obama as being president. Well, the world is socialist, so of course they would see that. They don't like Trump because he's not a socialist and he's for America. This country first, not the world. So, you know, he's president of, I love the fact that he said, I'm president of the United States, I'm not president of the world.
Well, Obama thinks he is president of the world, and his wife made a statement that the world wants Obama to be president of the world. Michelle made that comment.
Yeah, it's just nuts. I mean, then he has to run around and apologize for us being as powerful as we are and as successful as we are as a country in order to make us feel more comfortable or make the world feel more comfortable to adopt us as part of their cabal, whatever that is. And of course it is to make us socialist. That's what they'd like to see, because if they do, then we'll be in decline.
Well, what I want to give people right now is I want to give people some ammunition about Elizabeth Warren. She's right now kind of looking like the front runner, and we'll see how
you
that
know,
shakes
I,
out.
I predicted about 3 months ago that she'd be the nominee, but now I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm not so sure that's true. I think the Democrats are afraid of her because she's really extreme. I mean, she's right there with Bernie.
Well,
to be honest.
Yeah, most of her platform she stole from Bernie.
Exactly. So, you know, how middle of the road or moderate can she be? And I don't think she's a moderate candidate by any stretch of the imagination.
Well,
and Wall Street won't fund her because they're afraid of her too.
Let's look at a few things.
Wall Street couldn't be more Democratic or Democrat.
Let's take a look at a few things about her. So everybody's familiar with the fake Indian thing. That one's no surprise to anybody.
Right.
What people probably don't know is that, remember, she only recently got her DNA results?
Yeah.
It shows she was 1/1064th American Indian?
Right.
Which, by the way, I went and looked at my DNA results, and I am 1/10 of 1% American Indian. And I'm
so
a first-generation
Indian, being a Scotsman, than she.
And I'm a first-generation American.
Yeah.
And I'm more Native American than she is. Now, I want you to think about this. She just got those DNA results, right?
Yeah.
She never bothered telling anybody that one of the companies that her husband partially owns is a DNA company.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I bet you didn't. So what's the odds that your husband owns a DNA company and you just now did your DNA test?
Well, then on top of that, let's be honest. She got into Harvard, teaching at Harvard, under the auspices that she was an Indian.
Right.
I mean, come on.
And your husband owns a DNA company, so you had no ability to find this out, did you? Forget 23andMe.
You didn't want to find it out.
I know, but forget 23andMe. Your husband owns a DNA processing company. Second thing, she hates rich people. Right? Rich people.
And she's rich.
She's worth somewhere in the area of $12 million.
Okay. You know, this is insanity. These people, they just run on what they think the American people want to hear. They know that there's a disparaging attitude toward rich people, people who are successful and people who aren't. And they treat the American people like nobody's successful. And so they hate everybody that's rich. I don't hate anybody that's rich. I would like to be richer myself, and I'm sure you would too.
And I really enjoy my friends that are richer than me because they give me free rides on their jets.
That's right. but in all seriousness, quite frankly, we're a country where anyone can become rich. In most countries, you couldn't even do that.
I've said before, Chuck, and I'll get back to Warren here in a second. When I was a young kid, I worked for my father just like you did. And
nice.
you were out delivering stuff to stores. I was doing plumbing. And I would drive around in that big step van, just like you had.
Just like I had, right?
And you drive it with the side door slid open because that was the only air conditioning you had.
In the summer, it was brutal.
It's a wonder we never fell out of the trucks going around a corner because you had no seatbelt either. You remember you just sat on that pedestal that flipped over and you were just dangling out the door of the truck. So I would drive through a neighborhood like the neighborhood I live in right now. And I would see these massive houses, and I would be there to maybe do a plumbing repair in one of these houses. I never drove through those neighborhoods saying, look at all these damn rich people. I used to drive through those neighborhoods saying, wonder how these people all got here and how can I find out?
Right.
That was the only thought that ran through my mind. What do they know that I don't know, and how do I get that information? What you have, and there's a big difference between, I want to define something for people. There's a huge difference between the word jealousy and envy. Jealousy is when I want something you have. Envy, which is what Bernie Sanders lives in, envy is not, I just want what you have. Envy is, I don't want you to have what you have.
Right.
And that's the illness, the mental illness and destructive thinking that these people are living in. There's a, I'm going to give you this.
They believe that most Americans live like that. And I don't believe that.
They don't think that's true. Jealousy is one thing. I want to have what you have. Okay, that's cool. There's this thing that describes Russian socialism. And it does a great job of describing it. There are two farmers in a village in Russia, in a Russian village, and they each have one cow. One day, one of the farmers gets a second cow. The other farmer goes to the priest in town, and he tells the priest, I'm very upset because my neighbor now has two cows and I only have one cow. The priest says, so how can I help you? Do you want to pray for God to get you another cow? And the guy says, no, I want to pray for God to kill one of his.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bernie Sanders. Yeah. That's socialism. That's how these people live. Now, we go back to Liz Warren. She has $12 million in net worth. Okay? Now, she also went out and said that she was fired because she was pregnant. We know that's a complete lie.
I remember that story.
And that's a complete lie. She was offered another contract, and she turned the contract down. And she even admitted that on video. Okay?
Yeah.
She then came out and said she was the daughter of a janitor. The daughter of a janitor can rise up and run for president. Her father was not a janitor. Her father was an aviation instructor. Hardly a janitor, is it?
You know, as I say in politics, everybody has a log cabin story, none of which very few are true.
Well, this gets even better. We're going to give people even more information. So Liz Warren is against fracking. Liz Warren is against evil oil companies. She's out to save the planet from greedy energy companies, correct?
Yeah, I wonder how many Democrat voters who drive around and have 1956 Chevy Bel Airs and things like that. I wonder how many Democrats share that view. I bet you there are not very many Democrat voters that believe they should do away with their cars, their heating in their house, airplanes, you name it, and any form of transportation, depending on fossil fuels and anything that is a gift to them because of fossil fuels. I guarantee you the Democrat voters don't feel that way if they just investigate and scratch the surface. And speaking of scratch the surface, I was watching Tucker the other night. He said, if you scratch a Democrat, you'll find a fascist. And you don't have to scratch very deep.
Oh, absolutely not.
They're very fascistic in their attitudes.
Well, check this out. Warren has been attacking. She's been calling out oil companies, and she's calling them out by name. She's attacking Exxon, Shell, and BP for raking in billions of dollars fracking. Except the second largest oil company in America, she never mentions, which is called Chesapeake.
That's a new name to me. Chesapeake is the second largest. I've never heard of it.
Second largest with over 20.
I've heard of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad.
Chesapeake Energy with over 23,000 oil wells and natural gas wells across America. But she doesn't call them out. Well, that's curious. Why do you suppose that happens, Chuck?
Pennsylvania?
She owns part of it. She has stock in it.
Oh, of course. Yes.
So while she's attacking Exxon, Shell, and BP, she's raking in money from fracking.
You know, the hypocrisy of the left is just palatable, isn't it? And they depend on the American people to be stupid. They pray that they're as stupid as they can possibly be. They treat you like you're stupid. And I resent it. I really do.
Now, meanwhile, Liz Warren says, this is a quote, "On my first day as president, I will sign an executive order that puts a total moratorium on all new fossil fuel leases for drilling offshore and on public lands, and I will ban fracking everywhere."
And how will that help the American people?
Well, Chuck, that's an excellent question. Thank you for asking that. It was such well timed. Well, the oil and gas industry employs 800,000 people directly, 10.3 million indirectly, and 65% of them are involved in fracking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking.
So how many people is that overall with jobs? How many jobs will be lost?
We're going to put 7 million people out of work.
That's in the oil industry, right?
Right. With the stroke of her
pen. Well, and with her Medicare for All, she's going to put 2 million out of. So that's altogether. She's going to get rid of 9 million jobs if you get to make her president.
Now, when we go on to health insurance, Elizabeth Warren says that of the 300,000 people who will lose their job with her Medicare for All, those 300,000 people will now move over to doing life insurance and auto insurance. Because...
No, they won't. They'll be out of a job.
No, because... When you wipe out health insurance, the demand for life insurance is going to go through the roof because you all know you're going to die not getting any medical treatment.
Yeah.
So 300,000 people are going to shift over to auto insurance when there's no health insurance, but she's also claiming she's going to ban automobiles.
It's
so what are they going to insure? Okay.
Well, number one, when you talk about banning automobiles and all this kind of stuff, and I mean, Greta Thunberg is stuck in the United States. She can't get out of the United States. She and Leo DiCaprio are taking pictures on a rock by a lake somewhere, patting each other on the back, and she needs to get to the UN thing or wherever it's somewhere in Europe, and she can't get there because she refuses to fly on an airplane. I don't know why Leo DiCaprio says, come on, just get on mine. I'll take you over. I have an airplane. It's a big one, too. Come on.
So why are they such good friends when he flies private every place and she won't get on a plane?
Because nothing means anything to these people. Nothing. They have no principles. They have no guidelines. They just make it up as they go. And my God, I mean, surely people can see this.
So next, Elizabeth Warren has gone on record saying that if she is president, she is going to withhold all aid to Israel until they do what she wants in regards to the Gaza Strip and negotiating.
Isn't it interesting that, well, it's called a quid pro quo, but isn't it interesting?
Exactly.
Isn't it fascinating to you that almost, I guess, the predominant Jewish vote in this country is Democrat, and the Democrats could be more anti-Jewish. Or anti-Semitic, quite frankly. They're against Israel. They're against. I don't get it. I've never really understood that. And this is coming from a man who grew up in the Jewish neighborhood where all my friends were Jewish, and they still are today.
Well, you're more Jewish than Bernie Sanders, it would appear.
Well, that's probably true. You know, I have been to a few seders.
So let me continue on. I'm continuing to arm people with lots of info that they can use on their friends and neighbors about Elizabeth Warren. So let's look at some of Elizabeth Warren's past credits. In 2009, she represented Travelers Insurance and got them out of a $500 million asbestos victim settlement. And also arranged for them to get an actual ruling granting them immunity from all future asbestos victim lawsuits. Does that sound like the great savior of mankind?
No, it sounds like somebody who wants to make a buck, like most people.
In the 1990s, she worked for LTV Steel, where she wrote a petition to the Supreme Court seeking limitations on the company's responsibility to pay millions in a health fund for its retired coal miners. Then she worked as an attorney.
Hypocrite?
Yes, and then she worked as an attorney defending Dutch multinational banks, serving as an Enron creditor. And then she worked defending the directors of Dow Chemical, who were battling lawsuits from women claiming injury for faulty silicone breast implants. I thought she
was... Oh, she worked for them.
Yes, yeah. She was defending Dow Chemical against the women. I thought she was the champion of women.
So what you're saying is Elizabeth Warren running for president, and who's leading in a lot of, states, is a total fraud.
And she was paid $90,000 to testify as an expert witness in a case against Visa, Bank of America, and Citibank for credit card frauds. Now, remember, she's the one that is after credit card companies.
She's the one that what?
She's the person who wants to ruin all the credit card companies.
Yeah.
And I can only figure that because they're not paying her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She is an absolute person. She is a rudderless person when it comes to any type of moral direction, who strictly goes in the direction of either money or power, whatever suits her at the moment.
Do you ever notice these Democrats who are running are always on their moral high horse? They have the moral superiority to everybody, and oh, they're totally immoral. It's just obvious if you look skin deep. It's just amazing.
Now, the last thing I want to cover here, buddy, is the CFPB. You're going to hear a lot about this because Warren
the CF has what?
Consumer CFPB. Financial Protection Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
CFPB.
Which I'm sure doesn't.
Now, Warren... A lot of Warren's campaigning is talking about her work with the CFPB because she actually is, unlike Bernie Sanders, who's only renamed two post offices, Warren did actually was instrumental in creating the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Right. So I always love these names because they literally never do what they're supposed to do or what correct. They're named to do. It's in name only.
So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau sounds...
What do they do?
It sounds do? Wonderful. Well, Chuck, they're there to protect consumers against
from what?
Abusive banking practices.
Oh, yeah, it's those banks again.
So let me just give you an example. First off, this organization has no congressional oversight. It came out of Dodd-Frank. During the Great Recession, it has no congressional oversight. Think about this. None.
So they can't be accountable. They can't be held accountable for anything.
It has a budget that is a percentage.
Well, nobody's accountable in Washington for anything anyway, so why not them?
But remember, Congress is supposed to control the power of the purse, right?
Yeah.
Not with the CFPB. Their budget is a percentage of the Federal Reserve's budget. It's unaccounted for. CFPB spent more money remodeling their office space than all federal building remodeling together. They spent $55 million remodeling their space. Now, check this out. They have hundreds of employees.
Speaking of remodeling, you may or may not remember this, but I had a guy come in who wanted to do the interior decorating of my house in Beverly Hills. And I asked him, I said, finally, about 5 days into it, I said, well, tell me exactly how much is this going to cost? And he read off the number, which was astronomical. And I said, my gosh, that's a lot of money. You're talking about a third of what my house costs. He said, oh, Mr. Waller, it's only money. And I remember I looked at him. I said, do you work for the government by any chance? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, I know you don't. You're fired. And he said, what? I said, you're fired. I don't want you in my house anymore. Leave right now. Sorry. You're out of here. Interior decorators, that was the end of that.
So you were the Donald Trump of decorators.
Yes, I was in Beverly Hills at the time.
You're fired. Get out of here.
Well, they're used to dealing with people that don't care, which is our government. They don't care. They don't care how much money they spend. It's not their money. It's our money.
Well, check this out. The top people at the CFPB, and I'm talking about many people, not one person. The top tier salary there is almost $300,000 a year.
Oh, my Lord.
They're paying staff attorneys more money than the vice president of the United States or the president of the Congress or Senate or the Speaker of the House make.
Well, why not? It's not their money. Nobody's going to hold them accountable.
Because they are unregulated. They are unaccountable. Now, what they do is they have the control over banks. They have the control over credit unions. They have the control over lenders. They have, just as an example, they have issued $5 billion worth of penalties on banks and credit unions, and they have created $3.1 billion in new regulatory costs. Credit unions alone have taken a $7 billion regulatory hit on a
country. Why do you think this is going to be a well-known in the future, this organization?
Because she's campaigning on it being her success in the Senate.
I see. Well, Donald Trump will just rip her a new one on that one.
But that's her big claim to fame. So here's what happens with this. One, they hit banks and credit unions and stuff with fines based on nothing. Two, they post...
God, this sounds so familiar.
They post every complaint on a website that any bank, credit union, or lender has ever had.
Do you remember during the Obama years that the Obama government would sue these entities like banks and people like that, and for enormous amounts of money, like $2 billion, they'd sue them for it, and then these companies would come and settle. And they say, okay, you know, you can settle for $300 million. You don't have to give us $1 billion. So you can settle for $300 million. And then they would turn and take that money and put it in the Democrat coffers. I mean, it was amazing. And they just got away with it.
They went and, as an example, they fined, which was it, Citibank or Wells Fargo, several billion dollars because of wrongdoing that they said they did to the customers. Now, here's, follow with me here. They adjusted the penalty. The way they came up with the penalty is the CFPB guessed on who was an African American based on their name.
Oh my gosh.
Then they said, based on who we guessed was black, we then think they were abused. So now we levy this giant penalty to make all of those people that we guessed at whole. With me?
Yeah, so what is your point with all this? Elizabeth Warren is a hypocrite?
Well, let me finish this thought. Several years later, they have yet to give $1 back.
I was going to donate to you there a minute ago, and now I'm getting tired of it.
They've yet to give $1 back to any of the people who they claim were injured. And you know why? Because they claim they can't tell whether they're actually black or not. Except they guessed at them being black in order to charge the bank billions of dollars in fines. Here's the last thing I promise this is the last one I'm going to give you.
Thank you. I'm really getting tired of this.
I know. Okay. Part of what she's doing is controlling. She's claiming that the big deal here is poor people get taken advantage of when they have lending. So you go to a car dealer and your credit's bad, so you end up paying 16% or 18% for a car loan.
Right.
Or you pay high interest on loans. Here's what people need to understand. The reason that people with bad credit are charged high interest on loans is because a high percentage of them default and they don't pay.
Yes.
So therefore, if I do 100 loans, and I know that 30 of them aren't going to pay, I have to charge an interest rate high enough for the entire pool of 100 to cover the 30 that won't pay because of their credit rating. By making, by continuously putting the screws on that and making it so it's illegal to do, what she is doing is she is making it so poor people with bad credit will never get any lending. They will never have a credit card. They will never buy a car because you can't, they're going to make it so you can't even get an 18% loan.
So do you know how many,
just dependent on the government.
You know how many businesses are run on that? I mean, where come in, no money down. The first 2 months are free, and they know that in the by the third month, they'll give their car back. And I mean, they know they're going to do that. So they just, it's a business model almost for even some companies.
But she's out to make it illegal.
Have poor credit.
So the very people that she claims she's going to protect are the people she's going to prevent from ever getting a car or a credit card.
Hypocrisy again. So let me ask you something.
Very bad person.
Let me ask you something. What's your overall take on this impeachment thing that's going on with Adam Schiff?
There is no crime. There never has been a crime. I think part of it is they're trying to destroy the president and the media. And part of it, if you really pay attention to what Schiff is saying, like when he says, I'm not going to recognize Durham and Barr's report, they're trying to get ahead of the damage that's about to hit them.
I'll tell you where there's a lot of damage that they're trying to avoid and minimize. There is enormous damage that is crimes that were perpetrated in Ukraine, and they don't want anybody even close to that. I mean, forget Durham and Barr and all the stuff that they're doing, you know, otherwise. Ukraine is toxic to the Democrats. It's toxic to the Obama administration. It's toxic to Biden and his son and everybody who's running in the Democrat Party. It's toxic to the party, the DNC, to Hillary, to all of these past people. And they don't want anyone close to it. And they'll try to discourage as best they can any kind of information coming out of the Ukraine that's good information.
Well, I mean, look at this. I mean, you saw Dr. Bob.
Because they always look for places that are corrupted, and then they go in and continually corrupt them, and they feed off that corruption.
You've got corruption in Ukraine. You've got corruption in Russia. You have the corruption with the you got the corruption with the FISA warrants that's going to come out. You have Biden's kid up to his eyeballs in this stuff. You have, think about how the Epstein case. Remember when Epstein committed so-called suicide? That wasn't going to protect anybody?
Right.
Have you heard anything about the Epstein cases?
Oh, the only thing I've heard about it is Dr. Is his name Biden?
Baden.
What is it?
Dr. Baden.
Who is very well thought of, came out and said, you know, this wasn't a suicide. Period.
Yeah, Dr. Baden is a medical examiner from here in Michigan who's one of the most respected MEs in the world. And well, he says, looking at the evidence, looking at the evidence, that it was not a suicide. But the case has gone, cold now, hasn't it?
Well, Hillary's gone cold too, hasn't she?
Hillary's sitting back waiting. I'm telling you right now, Hillary wants to be in this race so bad she can taste it. But she wants to be begged to get in. She wants to be asked. She doesn't want to have to put her hat in like commoners. She wants the party to come.
It's amazing, Mark, it's amazing to me how obviously corrupt the Democrats are. And that whole party, not the voters, but the party, the leadership in the party, how incredibly corrupt they are and how successful they've been at corruption and how they continually are successful at being corrupt. I am not a fan of Republican in Congress, most of them, not all of them, but most of them. And I understand that we have problems with Republicans and you've got the lesser of two evils, but the Republicans are so far superior in their attitude toward government than the Democrats are. It's not even funny. I mean, it's no choice.
There's a big gap.
I'm sorry?
I will agree that there is a considerable gap. Not that the Republicans are perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but no, there is a considerable gap. There is at least the appearance on the Republican Party candidates and the people there that they seem to have some interest in progressing the country and saving America. And the Democrats seem to be very hell-bent on destroying everything that makes us America.
I've always said that Washington is a Democrat town. New York is a Democrat town. Los Angeles, San Francisco. So the West Coast. You go down from Portland to Seattle to, you know, to L.A. Yeah. and San Francisco and everything else. And it's very odd because you get into the interior of California, and they're all very conservative, but they are the minority. But it just seems like in Washington, almost all the news comes out of Washington. It's generated there. And so it's generated by Democrats. It's not generated by Republicans. It is a city that is overwhelmed by Democrats. They run the social part of it. They run the political part of it. They run the media part of it.
Well, sure, they booed the president at a baseball game in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that's Northern Virginia. Thank you very much.
But now Maryland. You see what happens when the baseball team visits the president.
Boy, was that interesting.
And Suzuki, he puts on a MAGA hat. And now the media has gone insane on him.
Right.
Because how dare an athlete have diversity of thought? How dare you not think exactly the same as us? So we are never going to cheer for you as a baseball player ever again because you refuse to think like us.
I wonder how Charles Krauthammer would have looked at that if he was a huge Nationals fan.
Well, probably wouldn't have been happy about the booing, but probably would have respected them going to the White House.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, presidents get booed. I don't care who you are. If you're president, they get booed in events like that. That's very commonplace.
Now, the president got cheered at the UFC fight.
Not according to the media.
But the media, right. The media is trying to claim they booed him, and they weren't booing him.
Well, the media is also trying to claim that we're in recession, and we're not. I mean, give me a break, will you? We are not allowed to enjoy our lives because Trump has made it more successful, made life easier, created more jobs, more opportunity, increase in wealth, and we can't enjoy that because the Democrats just can't abide by it.
But UFC, that's like a Trump rally.
Well, yeah.
And President Trump was one of the very early people that came out and supported UFC. He allowed them to hold fights in his facilities when no one wanted them.
That's true.
So, I mean, he was way out in front on the UFC.
But you're not allowed to like it.
It's bizarre, Chuck. It is bizarre.
Well, it's really not, though. You know, if you think about it, it's not bizarre at all. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, we talk about the deep state. Of course, Brennan now has come out and said, thank God for the deep state. So we know that it exists because the head of the CIA, former head of the CIA, has already told us that it exists, and he's happy about it. So when you're a Trump and you come in and you're a businessman and you know how to run things and you're up against this giant, giant wave, tsunami that's coming at you every day, that disagrees with you, that doesn't want things to run that way, we'll get back to normal. Normal is graft and corruption, and that's where we like to live, and selling people that it's really in their favor and it's good for them. And he blows that apart, and they despise him for it. They just despise him. And the more success he has, the more they despise him. It's just amazing to me.
Here's what I think is the way that the entire Democratic Party would come to an end. And first off, before I say that, I'm going to say right now that after this convention, the Democratic Party probably will come to an end? Because they're not going to
think so.
They're not going to have a clear winner. This is going to be a very contested presidency that they're, nomination.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time in history, though, Mark.
But I think you're going to end up with two Democratic parties coming out of this. I think you're going to end up with one Democratic Party that is what I'm going to call the coastal party. It's going to be the New York LA party, which is going to be that super far left version. Yeah. And then you're going to have the more moderate Democratic Party. I think you're going to end up with two factions of that party that'll come out of this convention. But if you really wanted to wipe out the Democratic Party, it would take two things, two events. One, for supporters of the Democratic Party to learn the concept of gratitude. Because if you practiced gratitude in your life, if you were grateful for this country and grateful for the things you have in your life, you would never be able to live according to the Democratic hate platform. The second thing would be the elimination of envy, which, as you know, Chuck, it'd be very hard to be envious if you had gratitude. Those two emotions can't exist together. But if we could just get people to understand that when you live in America, everyone's worried about what the top 1%'s doing, but to understand just being born in America was winning the lottery, because based on the standards of the world, we're all the top 1%.
Well, I don't think most people understand that or realize it, unfortunately. And I think about my friends back in Hollywood, who the vitriol is just so bad. I mean, it's just awful. And I wonder where they get this. And I realize that they get it from the mainstream media. They're fed this noxious combination of nastiness and hatred day in and day out, and they believe it. And it's unfortunate.
We're the only country in the world that can measure and identify our poorest citizens by their level of obesity, not by their starvation.
I remember traveling to India and places like that, and Egypt, and I saw poverty. I mean, as an American, you look at it and think, oh my God, these poor people. I mean, they are destitute.
Right. There's no obesity, poor. Is there?
No. No, it's people in this country really don't know what poor is. They don't understand it, because it exists here in our imagination as to what it is. Not to say that there are not some many poor people here. There are poor people everywhere.
But America, Chuck, statistically,
it's not a level of poverty that the rest of the world knows.
Right. Statistically, in America, the poorer you are, the more likely you are to be obese. Now, think about that. Statistically, if you're a poor person in a third world country, you have no opportunity to be obese. Our level of lifestyle that we live in this country is so far and above where billions of people are living, that if we just had gratitude for everything we have, we should hang our head in shame that we're complaining about what we don't have.
I know that there are people out there going to say, yeah, a couple of rich guys talking about poor people. What do they know? I'll tell you what I know. I have been broke. And you know this, in our relationship, we go back quite a while, and I've been through periods of time where I've been broke or in debt or whatever, and it happens. And no matter how much money you make or, whatever circumstances are. But I have never, ever, and you know this to be true, I've never been poor, but I've been broke. And I've been in debt, and I've had to come out of it, and I've had failures, and I've had to come out and get beyond that. But I've never been poor, because poor is an attitude. It's not a condition.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. Especially, well, I'm saying poor in this country, for sure, in this country. Because if you want to, you can achieve something of success. And if you don't want to, that's on you. But there's opportunity here that there is not, it doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. I know it. You know it. People who have struggled in their lives know it. And, you know, it's just, I believe that's a reality.
There's just no reason
that
for
no
it.
One's prepared to deal with. And then there's people who profit off being poor, which are Democrats. And by the way, exactly when I right. see Democrats, I'm not talking about the Democrat, the average walking around voter, anything like that. It's these people that advocate, and the Democrat leadership. It's just, it's horrible. It really is. We can't enjoy the prosperity that's given to us because of Democrats. In fact, they completely denied that it's happening.
You have one party that wants to create more jobs and more opportunities. You have another party who wants to create more welfare and more dependence on the government.
Well, I mean, you can see that for a fact. Nancy Pelosi, remember when she was talking about welfare, people who are on welfare contribute to the nation? No, they don't.
Of course they don't. I mean, and the left is mad at Trump because he's taken so many people off welfare. But he didn't throw them off welfare. He helped employ them.
Exactly right. And they weren't employed by the government.
Right. He didn't take the welfare away. He created environments for them to become useful, contributing members of society. And the reality is, we feel better about ourselves as people when we are self-sufficient.
I'll tell you something. If the family ever reconstitutes and comes together in this country, and we're not left with women raising children by themselves and men are at home taking care of their families like they should, the Democrats will go insane because that is a true success.
Chuck, I want to remind everybody that you want to keep Blunt Force Truth on the air, go to BluntForceTruth.com, look in the top right-hand corner, see that Patreon button, and go become a patron of Blunt Force Truth. Help us cover some of these expenses.
Well, you know, Mark, I enjoy these times with you, getting together and talking. We do twice a week, and I hope everybody else enjoys it. If you do, leave us a good review on Stitcher and iTunes and Podcast One. We would really appreciate it. And we hope you enjoyed the show today. And we'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth.